This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Friday the 13th, Austin, just so you know, June 13th, Friday, approximately 9 o'clock. We're meeting for a work session today on case number GS-13-712, Public Service Commission versus, if you will, Tom's Backhoe Service about a damage prevention complaint. A little background, staff went through and filed a complaint. The individual requested a hearing. We had the public hearing on May 1st in the commission room. And just as a kind of a summary, I think everything we've asked for has been given, been provided, correct, Julie Prescott and Austin, from them?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Yeah, Julie, same thing.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, perfect. So I guess the goal today, is basically to share our thoughts on the hearing and go from there. So I have, some thoughts right away where I want to go to, but I'll see if Commissioner Fedorchak has anything particular you want to touch on before I give you my data dump.
I do not have any opening comments.
Okay, perfect. I should sidestep one second for we needed to schedule. We should
do that afterwards.
All right, we got to schedule. I have to leave it then. Okay, fair enough. We'll do the scheduling at the very end. Commissioner Crispin, do you have any opening comments before I give my data dump on this?
I do not.
Okay. Here's what I thought is Austin prepared a memo, and I thought it was very good. It hit the very appropriate points. When I went through the hearing, I was very much Tom did a great job, I think, of saying what he, you know, how it worked out, how he did what he thought he's supposed to, and he went through and he did the I forget that what's called now, the hydrovacking, and it just kind of was an anomaly in the pipe that he thought that the cause of the problem. But the point is that he admitted that he did something wrong. And so my thought was is that we basically keep the fine in place, but we suspend it if he then commits to a follow-on training education session with his North Dakota One Call. Ryan Schmaltz goes out and does training all the time. And so we basically we're not saying he didn't do it, but we're saying, listen, a mitigating factor, we understand you did what might be considered normal by those out there doing the work, but the point is you still admitted it. So that's kind of where I thought came down on this one. I was not willing to just say, hey, we're not going to fine you, because he admitted doing it.
What's the status of the fine? My understanding was they paid it.
Right. We have not assessed a penalty or determined a penalty yet. They paid for the damages.
They paid for the damages.
And that's when, during the hearing, he was unaware that that happened. We said, well, you paid for the damages. You admitted you did it. Well, I didn't know. Well, but, yeah, it's basically that's exactly correct. They paid for the damages. He said he did it.
But did he not say that they pay these damages often routinely? And they don't consider them an admission of guilt. That's just when things happen, you just pay for it, move on.
I think that's probably what he said.
So you're proposing keeping the fine in place,
but suspending it.
Suspending it in exchange for
him agreeing to additional training. We do that we have done that in damage prevention, or not, cases dealing with natural gas safety. We had the city of Granville where we went in there and they had a lot of things wrong. And so we fined them a bunch of money, but we suspended several points of it as long as they agreed to do certain things, send their people to training, give us certificates of that. So we could do something like this, use those orders as a guideline and basically say, hey, listen, if you agree to meet with one, go training with North Dakota One Call, provide us the certificate of that training, which they do, send that in. We suspend he doesn't have to pay the fine. If he does not complete that training in a period of 6 months, then we levy the fine.
And do you have a sense for what kind of training you would request?
The North Dakota One Call has their standard one-day training package where they come out and they meet with the companies and they go through basically One Call 101. So that's what I would say, the One Call training. One-day training. Because he did admit that...
How many employees does he have? Who would undergo the training?
Well, we'd have to put that in there that him and his staff undergo the training. I'd have to look at Pat a little bit for how do we do that with the remember the city of Granville? I can't remember how far down we told them to go to the training. I mean, if we're using that as a guideline, how would we walk through Julie's question? Because it's a good one.
Well, the city of Granville had one gas safety person.
Okay, so it was a lot easier.
But they did have a change in staff in midstream, so they ended up sending a new gas safety person to training after that.
I guess the answer to your question, Julie, I would say they require that all of his staff attend that training session, anybody involved in excavation.
Yes, you could. At first, I'm supposed to tell you that as a law student, as an intern, I'm not acting as a lawyer, so nothing I can say is binding. I can just comment on the record and things like that. But you could try and say those employees who will be excavating are working in North Dakota, because if he does have employees who are working solely in Minnesota, they wouldn't need to be falling under R1 call law.
And is there a cost to these training programs?
There is not.
Okay. And yeah. They're provided online, or is this a central location?
No, it's a Chad would come out, not Ch- Chad, Ryan would come out and schedule something with them. He'd actually go out there, and they would look forward to the opportunity to do training with companies. That's part of what they do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of a fine it is that we're talking about suspending.
It's a $500 fine that staff has recommended. So I even thought about you could do a $1,000 fine and then make them pay some and the other, but I backed away from that.
I guess, you know, and I don't know, I'm not set in stone in on a certain position here, right? But my thought was that the training and having paid for the damages was sufficient. I think that he makes a very good point when that line underneath the highway and he was removing the class, whatever it was, that to me, it's the aggregate underneath the pavement, I believe. And when that jumps from 36 inches to 12 inches and back to 36 inches again, you can be being pretty careful and just removing one of the top solid stuff off the top. And basically, whatever we do here kind of goes for pavement too. So this sort of to me, sets the precedent that when you get within 2 feet of that marked line, even though you might be looking at something that's supposed to be 6 or 8 feet deep in a case of a water line, you're going to have to start breaking up all the pavement by hand with jackhammers. You can't even peel that off with a backhoe anymore because there might be a big jump in the line for some reason or another. And so I think we got to be a little careful, but he's paid for the damages. I was fine without a fine, a small suspended penalty. A small suspended penalty. I guess I don't mind so much, but when it comes to the training, I do think that needs who goes for the company. If we're going to require training, and I'm fine with that, I think that's a management decision on their part. I kind of would relate that to when OMB released some budget information and we made a decision who all here needed to go down and hear that. And, we're the ones who are responsible to make sure that the right people get the information. And, I don't know that we need guys that work in the ditches and all over the state all attending the training. If he thinks that that's what it takes to make sure he doesn't have another accident, then he should send them all. And if he thinks it's his foreman that need to be there or just him himself, as long as the message is getting to the right people, I think that should be his management decision.
That's a good point, Randy. Can somebody clarify for me this issue on the depth of cover? What does the law say on the depth of cover? And does my understanding is this line was much shallower than it was supposed to be, but regardless, the 811 law doesn't eliminate the responsibility of the excavator from avoiding the line regardless of the depth. Is that true to the law?
My interpretation of the law is that there's nothing at all that relieves you from doing it, no matter how deep it is, you have to do it. But that brings up Randy's practical point, is the law has some flexible understanding out there, most people, that once they get the location, that's where the law is clear, but the practical application becomes very challenging.
And he knew this line was there. It's just he was expecting it to be deeper in that area.
When reading through the law, the only places that I saw them describing direction or distance was from side to side, horizontally. They didn't talk much about depth in terms of digging and stuff like that. You have to have the 2 feet horizontally, but they didn't give much standard for how deep you have to go or anything like that. And so he might not have standards.
It is interesting that just the way the numbers work out, you know, we have the clear guideline horizontally of 2 feet, and vertically here, and he testified that it was 36 inches deep and then 12 inches where he cut it and then back to 36 inches, and he didn't say the exact distance that jump was, but you know, it was an old jump from when they had fixed this gas line one time, but he said a very short distance that it made that hump. And no one countered that. So the difference between what he exposed on each side of the cut and where he cut it was, coincidentally, 2 feet. And so if we'd be down to arguing over a fraction of an inch one way or the other if we were talking about it horizontally, but because it's vertically, he doesn't have any ground to stand on.
Well, there's so many things, though. I mean, you could argue the care required, because there's just many different ways you can go on this.
I guess I'm just worried that we end up setting a precedent here where from here on in, you can't even bust up pavement or concrete with an excavator. When you get to that line, that all has to be done by hand with a hammer or a jackhammer. And I don't know, it seems like there's the one factor is the safety, and that I guess is the most important one. But the utilities have got to get their stuff down where it belongs too. And when they fixed it from the previous cut and left that big hump, to me, that was who's most responsible here. Whoever fixed that and left that way.
Well, that's why I think it's a practical application of the law. He admitted his guys hadn't been to training. The staff recommended a $500 fine. We take that recommendation, but suspend it. I think you have to do the fine and suspend it. Otherwise, there's no hook to have them make sure they go to the training. Other than just, we'll do it because we're good guys.
Well, and there's also the fact that if this was the only occurrence or only instance where this company had struck, but they've got three other, at least according to MDU, this is the third time that this company has struck their lines. So it does suggest that there's a pattern of not using care that perhaps, hopefully, could be corrected with more training. So
I guess I'm fine with the suspended penalty and the required training, but I do really think that he needs some flexibility in who he sends with the value of the equipment and the value of the operators. He could have, I don't know how big that company is, he could have many, many guys there that are costing him 40, 50 bucks an hour and really spend a lot of time on a whole day for people who don't really need to be there too. As long as he's the one accepting the responsibility that his company knows.
Well, can you rough something up as an order, Julie Prescott, based on this discussion, and then get it back out to the three of us, and if we need to do this again, we can. Unless there's something, do you have any other questions on this?
Can we get a sense for how many employees he has in North Dakota and what their positions are, just so we have, you know, I'm fine with that, giving him discretion to not send everybody, but I do think we should better understand what his staffing levels are and what their what his various people are doing, and if he's only sending one guy versus, you know, 10, or I have no idea what his business structure looks like. So I think we should understand that and work with him on determining how many of his folks would go.
You know, I can do that.
Maybe give Ryan a call too, Schmaltz, because when I've talked with Ryan before, that companies that are serious about this send every excavator to training every year. Mm-hmm. So everybody goes. So if you got a company that's serious about it, they send all their people. Pat, do you know that for one way or the other? No? But so that's where you've got some companies, I know that their commitment is to make sure anybody doing this goes to it all the time.
You know, and now as I think about this, that's probably a good idea to get into that pattern. And I bet you the ones who do that are doing it in January and February when none of those guys are losing any time excavating. But, you know, if we're expecting these guys to shut down now in July and August when that's their main time.
Well, but that's how we could put it, though, is we could give them a longer period of time. We could say in the next year, all the people that are involved in excavation in North Dakota need to attend this training. So you give them a whole year to do it.
I don't know. I don't know how big this company is, but they've had 3 violations just with MDU, and this is the time where they're going to be digging the most. So they need the training now.
I think.
How long is the training?
Quote me on it, but I was listening to the hearing yesterday, and he said he had about 30 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 100% sure we'd have to have him confirm that. But so
Maybe Ryan could do it at night or sometime weekend or sometime that allows for his staff, you know, recognizes that they're in the throes of their busy season. But at the same time, to say you don't, you know, need to do it until next year when he's got folks that he's admitted aren't trained, that just doesn't seem very responsible.
Maybe the key is to get him into the training now and get the rest of them into the routine of doing it in the winter. I don't know. It would be something to discuss with them.
Yeah. Okay, the fact that the 811 folks travel and are pretty accommodating, it sounds like, and the training is free, I think that those factors lend itself to making it pretty easy for him to get this training done.
Okay, sounds like how about this? Make the phone calls that they talked about and then get the draft order put together, that paragraph about the whole crew goes or the other crew. We're going to have to talk about that some more, I think. But that's an easy change in an order, whether we do everybody or we do just key people. Okay. Going once, going twice? All right. What we're going to do, Julie, Austin, anything else? I'm afraid
we should point out, Julie and Pat pointed out that the handbook does say for vertical depth that excavators are reminded that facility depths may vary due to installation practices or changes in grade, erosion, and other variables. So it doesn't give a specific number, like the 2 feet, but it is in there reminding them that they should be double-checking because it might not be the same all the way around.
Mm-hmm. But I guess my concern with the depth is I agree with Randy that the companies, MDU and all the utility companies, do have a responsibility for burying these lines at certain depths. And they need to be held responsible for doing that as well, especially in a case like this where it was much shallower than, I think you testified in the hearing, Pat, that it was 18 inches. It was supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah, maybe another provision needs to be in where they have a penalty and some training too.
Yeah. Look, you go back the other way.
If it's gas pipeline safety, we enforce that in our other program.
Right, exactly.
We have an enforcement for that, too.
Okay.
Good point.
All right. We will go ahead and close the work session today. Thank you all very much.